Proverbs chapter 23. And tonight I want to take some spiritual principles and make direct application to our homes. And tonight I want to talk about your child's heart. And we'll see that mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6. We'll be around in the book of Proverbs a good bit tonight, but I certainly want to be an encouragement and a blessing to you as so often life can just become about just existing, about survival. And we've got to remind ourselves that as parents, we're addressing the issues of the heart. So Proverbs chapter 23:26. Would you read it with me, please? You can remain seated, but please read it together. Ready? My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And here, the writer of Proverbs makes a plea for his child's heart. My son, give me thine heart. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord's blessing as we preach the word tonight. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would help us. Father, in these next few moments, as Father, we talk about a subject that is so very important, so vital. Father, the heart of a child. Father, these children don't understand the magnitude even of their own heart and the importance of keeping it. And Father, I pray that as parents, Lord, you would give us the diligence we need to shepherd their hearts and steward their hearts. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even from this room, Father, you would raise up another generation of faithful men and women of God. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would encourage us and challenge us and Lord, even convict us. Father, I confess that without your Spirit, I can do nothing. So I ask your Spirit to fill me and use me in these next few moments as I preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read this verse and I think, you know, have I ever sat down like Solomon here and asked my son for his heart? Well, that's not usually something that we would do, but do understand your child knows whether or not you want their heart. You know, so much of what transpires is understood as the foundation or basis of relationships is not necessarily taught, but it's caught. It's perceived. You know, parents, I couldn't help but think this as I thought about myself as well. Your emphasis in parenting, though likely never spoken, is known to your children. You know, if your emphasis is just, don't bother me and leave me alone. Or you wouldn't say those words, but your children would know. If your emphasis was, just don't embarrass me when we're out in public. Or, I just want to have you under control, always just doing the right thing at the right time. Or some parents, they have this emphasis of developing a special skill. Or, you know, I've always wanted to do this, so I'm going to make you do it because I always wanted to do it or because I like it. Or, you know, some parents have they'll actually articulate this one. What they're, as far as their parenting philosophy or parenting emphasis, they say, I just want my children to be happy. As if they were miserable and they grew up miserable and they want their children to be somehow different than them. And of course, every time I hear that, I grimace because I know those children are not going to be happy. They're going to be taught to live for themselves and they're going to have a very miserable existence. Or parents, they would never say this, but they don't speak these words, but their children know. The parents give them lots of stuff to make up for their lack of involvement. You know, so much of what takes place in relationships, so much of what they're built on is nonverbal. And it would be safe to say that unless you had a devotion over this particular passage, you've never talked to your child about giving you their heart. But again, your child knows whether or not you want their heart. Your child knows whether they feel they can trust you with their heart. I want to give you just a few thoughts tonight about this matter of your child's heart. Number one, all of your child's feelings, choices, responses, behaviors, all of it flows from the heart. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I want us to read a verse together here. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Let's read this together. Ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life flow out of where? Say it together with me. The heart. The heart. Now, Jesus reminds us of this. He said, when he was talking about his disciples were being accused of being filthy and evil because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, Jesus said, it's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles a man. Jesus said it this way. He said, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. See, God made us a living soul, and that means that we have a heart. In addition to that, we have a mind, we have a will, and of course, we need to understand these to understand how we stand against sin. We understand our fight against sin. The temptations, they come to us through our mind. And the final choice to sin is a choice that is made by our will, but that sin resides in the heart. And where does pride reside? Well, I tell you what, you're there. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, let's read verse 5. Verse 5, ready? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Where does pride reside? Well, in the heart. What is it that would cause someone to be proud? It's because of a condition, a sin of their heart. Where does lust reside? Well, in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already, say it with me, in his heart. Where does slander come from? Why would you even want to believe those things about that individual, let alone repeat them? Because of the heart. Where does laziness, why is it so hard to get yourself to do those things? It's because of that sin that resides in the heart. Where does the anger come from? It seems that some that get set off by the slightest things, and that anger is just there under the surface, brewing, waiting to erupt. That anger resides in the heart. Deception comes from the heart. Anxiety comes from the heart. Bitterness, you see, and all of these issues, they flow from the heart. And as parents, the purpose of our discipline is to touch their heart. So often we get focused on behaviors. It's those behaviors that have called our attention to the child. And if we're not careful, we'll just end up addressing those behaviors. But it is a matter of the heart. The Bible reminds us of this. Proverbs chapter 22. Turn over there with me, would you please? Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 15, Proverbs 22, verse 15. Ready? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. See, where does foolishness reside? See, what is the purpose of our discipline? It is to address their heart. It is to touch their heart. Let me say this secondly, the heart is the real you. The heart is the real you. It is the core of your being. Underneath all the pretenses, we won't take time to read it, but in Proverbs chapter 23, that the Bible speaks of an evil man that has an agenda. And he deceives you. He flatters you. He's friendly to you. He's generous, but that's all just a part of his ploy. And the Bible goes on to say in Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The heart is the real you under all the pretenses here. And of course, there's a comparison here, just like your physical heart that works so hard to pump blood and nutrients and oxygen to every part of your body. Just like your physical heart is the center of your physical existence, your heart, as the Bible refers to it in these passages, is the center of your immaterial existence, the real you. You're more than flesh and bone. And parents, your child is more than flesh and bone. They have a soul, and we're to address the heart. You see, that's why the Bible tells us to be saved, you must believe with your heart. And not believe with your head. It's not just saying a confession or acknowledging a set of beliefs or a set of facts. It is faith in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, you cannot be saved with your mind. Now, yes, there are some things that you must know, you must understand, but you can't be saved with your mind. You can't be saved with your will. You can't will yourself to be saved. It has to flow from the heart. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, he asked Philip. Philip was teaching him who Jesus was from the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, this heart is the real you. See, but now, back to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. The verse says, my son, say it with me, give me thine heart. We talked a little bit about the heart and what the heart is, but I want us to notice here this word give. The heart was made to be given away. The heart was made to be given. Give me thine heart. You know, it's interesting. The Bible speaks about the last days, and I touched on it a little bit this morning. We talked about it in a Bible study this week, even shared it a time or two yesterday out soul winning. But one of the hallmarks of the last days is men cannot love. They are lovers of their own selves. They can only love themselves. They can only act in self-interest. They're not loyal to anyone. They're not committed to anything. It's always about them. And that's why you read on in that passage. It says they have lost their without natural affection. And, this understand that they're unable to give their heart away. But understand salvation is just that. Salvation is giving your heart away. You know, we use the terminology, and it's not incorrect that we ask Jesus to come into our heart. It is a reciprocal dwelling. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me simultaneously at the same time. But this salvation is giving myself, giving my heart to Christ. And Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so we need to understand this. See, now, so the heart was made to be given away. And we have an adversary that wants your heart. He wants your heart. You see, if he's after your heart, mom and dad, he's also after your child's heart. You see, he's going to offer them anything their heart desires, simply to turn their heart away from God. And that's why we're warned in the Scripture, love not the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you have given your heart to the world, loving the things of this world, the apostle says, don't tell me about the love of God being in you. Don't tell me you've given your heart to Jesus when you're pursuing the things of this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Satan is after your heart. That's what temptations are all about.
He was. That's what the temptation of Christ was all about. Remember when Satan took Jesus up on a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of this world, and said, "I'll give this all to you if you will what? Fall down and worship me." See, what did Satan want? Satan wanted his heart. He wanted his heart. I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. I will give you the kingdoms of this world. You can sit on your throne right now if you'll give me your heart. You know, if you give your heart to Satan, he'll reward you. He will. He'll give you pleasure. He'll give you fame. He'll give you wealth. You know, I think about what's going on in the secular world tonight. And, you know, the halftime performance is undoubtedly going to be another praise and worship session. A singer praising and worshiping Satan for giving them their fame and their wealth. You know, they got where they were. They got where they are by selling their soul. So they have to worship Satan. And so much of that is going on in the popular culture. Satan is, he wants the heart and he captivates the hearts of young people listening to that kind of trash and filth, and understand that heaven and hell are contending for your heart. We see that picture in Proverbs chapter 7 and 8. We won't take time to study through it, but you know, in Proverbs chapter 7, we have the strange woman. She's out on the streets. She's ready to go. And she's after the simple. Well, in Proverbs chapter 8, we also have wisdom out on the streets calling. Who's wisdom calling for? The simple. Heaven and hell contending for the heart, both seeking to get the heart. You see, and that's why we see in our culture this contest, this pursuit to draw away the heart, and the adversary seeking to entice the heart, happening younger and younger, because whoever has the heart will eventually have the life. There are young people I grew up with, I sat in church with, went to youth group with, went to preaching conferences and revivals and camps with, and they were faithful to come to church. And I believe at the time they truly enjoyed it. But while they sat in church, the world had their heart. Maybe it was video games, maybe it was movies. We didn't have social media back then, but certainly had a lot of popular culture. And where they are today is proven by their heart. Proof of who had their heart. See, Jesus reminded us in Matthew chapter 6, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot give God your heart and give this world your heart, and the things of this world your heart. Whoever has the heart will eventually have the life. The heart was made to be given away, and it will be given away. But understand, parents, you cannot influence your child for good or for God without having their heart. See, child rearing is not about just giving them food and shelter and necessities of life, or giving them a good education, teaching them a few life skills, you know, helping them experience different things, teaching them manners, you know, getting them to the age of healthy, you know, age of 18, healthy with his few broken bones and as little baggage as possible. No, no, it's about having their heart. My son, give me thine heart. See, if you have their heart, you can guide them through the pitfalls that await them, the traps that lie ahead. See, there are going to be many difficulties, many challenges. See, that's why trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And understand, God has given you to them, mom and dad, to your child, to guide them and lead them, to guide them in these paths. And here in our text, Solomon is pleading for the heart of his son. He knows the dangers that awaits. He himself has experienced some of it. And we live in a culture and everything is after the heart of your child. Social media, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, and material possessions, experiences, pleasures, video games. And you see, the problem is that a child doesn't even understand the value and the importance and the significance of his own heart. And a child will foolishly give their heart away. You hear those horror stories in the news about, you know, some young girl that met somebody online and they convinced the young lady to keep their relationship a secret until finally it was time to set up a rendezvous. And you know, horror stories. Child gave their heart away. Didn't even know who they were giving it to. They gave their heart away. You know, I've seen young people so desperate to get out of their parents' home. They would give their heart to anyone who was worthy. Anyone who would take it, whether they were worthy or not. And they lived to regret it. And by the way, young people, if you don't follow the instructions that are given here in this verse, you will live to regret it. My son, give me thine heart. If you give your heart to friends, if you give your heart people on social media, you give your heart to a boyfriend, and you don't give your heart first and foremost to mom and dad, you will live to regret it. See, parents not having their, why is having their heart so important? Because you cannot impart spiritual understanding unless you have their heart. Oh, sure, you can give them knowledge. You know, I think about the young people I went to youth group with. And they didn't all fall by the wayside, but far too many of them did. They had knowledge. Oh, they knew the Bible. They memorized Scripture. They knew the Bible stories. They knew the answers to all the questions. But you see, knowledge isn't going to give them a blessed life. See, your goal is to impart understanding. I want my children to know the whys of life. I want them to know why. Why we go to church. I want my children to know why we read our Bible. I want my children to know why we don't drink. And I want my children to know why, how we dress and modesty. I want my daughters to know why modesty is important. I want them to know why we don't watch these shows and that shows. And I want them to know why we don't listen to that kind of music. I want them to know why we show respect in the home. I want them to know why we share our faith and why we need to get the gospel out to all the world. I want them to know why we need to forgive and why we work hard. I want them to have understanding, but I cannot give them understanding if I don't have their heart. It's not about creating the perfect environment. Oh, listen, we all have situations we would change if we could. You know, physical situations and relational situations, financial situations, health situations. We all have things that we would change if we could. But understand, it's not about giving them the perfect environment. Far too often, parents fret and fear that not having, you know, I didn't have enough money to lavish them with Christmas presents, so they're going to grow up and hate me and be bitter. You know, it's not about creating the perfect environment. It's about having their heart. Win their heart. Keep their heart. Mom, dad, be worthy of their heart. Be worthy of their heart. If you're going to ask your son, your daughter to give you their heart, you need to be worthy of their heart. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means be gentle. The heart is such a delicate thing. Don't treat it roughly. Don't treat them roughly. You don't treat their doubts and fears, their questions. You don't make fun of them. Show them compassion. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture. You nurture them. You care for them. You know, yes, they're foolish. Yes, they do foolish things. Yes, they're naive, but be gentle. Be honest. Be honest. You know, kids know when you lie. They hear you on the phone. No, they only get half the conversation. But they know when you're giving an excuse and you're twisting the truth into a lie. Be honest. You know, when you lie, your children, they'll never say it. They might not even consciously think it. Might not even be a conscious thought for them, but they're learning that they cannot trust you. Be consistent. You know, your children aren't going to want to give you your heart, their heart, if you're blowing hot one minute and cold the next. And they don't know what mood you're going to be in. They're going to be hesitant about opening up and sharing their heart with you. They're going to be hesitant about trusting the counsel and advice that you receive. Be consistent. Don't play favorites. You know, this is challenging when you got children of different genders, different age ranges. You know, children, they have such a strong sense of what is fair. You know, and so much of the tattling that goes on, it's this injustice, and they're pleading for their version of justice, whatever that is. Everything's so black and white to them. We've got to be so careful that we don't play favorites. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, even if we have to deal with sin, we're not to do it with an angry spirit. Firm, yes. Just, yes. Righteous, yes. But not angry. Not wrathful. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Nothing will turn a son or daughter's heart away quicker than anger. Don't be rough with them. You know, God gave them one special place for any kind of physical training that is necessary. Push, slap, hit, shove, kick. Be worthy of their heart. The young people, the wisest thing that you can ever do is to give your parents your heart. Say it again. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Say that first phrase with me. Ready? My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. See, the Proverbs 4:23, we read it a few minutes ago. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That guard there. You know, young people, they have this incalculable treasure. They don't even understand the value of it. What do? You know, maybe your kid has been given some money by a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, and you know what that kid wants to do? They got that $20 bill, you know, for their birthday, for Christmas. They want to feel important. They want to carry it around in their pocket. You know what happens? 2 or 3 days later, they're coming sobbing, "Where's my money? I lost my money. Dad, can you help me find my money?" Okay? You know, when they received it, you offered to keep it for them. You wanted to put it in safekeeping. You see, young people, you guard your heart by giving your heart to the right people. And that is the only way that you're going to keep from giving it to the wrong people. You know, I'm so glad that I have my daughter's heart. You know, as she's had been in a dating relationship, and you know, where I'm setting her up and just trying to be very wise and seek God's will each and every step of the way for her to give her heart away to a young man when concerns arise. You know, it's time to put the brakes on. Let's hold the wagons. Let's stop. Let's regroup. I'm so glad that I still have my daughter's heart enough that we can stop and we can protect and keep from further pain and suffering down the road. And this heart, how do you keep from giving your heart to the wrong people? You give your heart to the right people. You trust your parents with your heart. You give it to your parents for safekeeping. I want to ask you, young person, does your parent have your heart? See, you have to give it to them. You have to give it to them. They cannot demand it from you. You have to willingly give your heart to them. Okay? Have you given mom or dad your heart? Well, there's a few questions that could sum that up. What secrets are you keeping from them? When's the last time you had a heart-to-heart talk with them? See, you're going to find somebody to share your secrets with. That's just our human nature. We give our hearts away. But to whom do we give our hearts? See, somebody you can give your heart to. If you can't find a wise man, then you'll find a fool. You'll give your heart to a fool. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Parents, keep the heart of your child. I'm not talking about loving your child. I'm talking about keeping their heart. See, you win their heart. You keep their heart. You know, one of the saddest stories in Scripture is the story of Absalom. Absalom did much wrong, much wrong. But you know, as I read the story, I fault David as well. You know, David, when Absalom's sister was raped, David did nothing about it. And after 2 years of waiting for his father to do something, anything, Absalom decided he was going to do something. You know the story, he killed his brother Amnon, the rapist. Then he didn't know how his father would respond, so he fled the country. And eventually he was brought back. But though David loved his son, David did not restore the relationship. And it got to a point, the Bible says that Absalom was brought back to the city of Jerusalem, but David just could not bring himself to face Absalom for whatever reason. And the Bible says after that, the reception between them was so cold, Absalom's heart turned away from his father. The Bible says that he went on to actively attempt a coup, believing he would make a better king than his father, wanted to overthrow and even kill his father. You see, parents, keep the heart of your child. You know, parents, you're dealing with the most sensitive object in the universe, the heart of a child. I want to ask you, are you up to receiving such a gift? Are you up to caring for such a gift? My son, say it with me. My son, give me thine heart. Your child knows whether or not you want their heart. See, if you don't have the heart of your child, you need to acknowledge that both to God and to your child. You know, parents, they often get this backwards. They think if they don't have the heart of their child, they've got to fix their child first. No. See, you know, the Malachi said that John the Baptist, when he come, he would preach, and God would use his preaching in such a powerful way that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. See, it's first the heart of the father to the child. And when the parent is seen as worthy of their heart, the heart of this child whose heart is turned away or they're holding their heart back, they will give their heart to their parent. See, child knows whether or not they feel they can trust you with their heart. Young person, even if you feel that mom and dad are not worthy of your heart, you forgive them. Whatever it is, you must forgive them for. But you give them your heart anyway. Because if you don't give them your heart, you will live to regret it.
My son, give me thine heart. Let's bow our heads and finish our time together tonight with prayer.